Good morning, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live here out of the Common Workspace Studios. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, and I cannot think of a more fun way to close out the last live show of this week. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving with you here on the program. Got some great shows coming your way Thursday and Friday. But I will be with family, as I hope many of you listening will have the opportunity to do. So this is our last live show of the day, of the week, and I cannot think of a more fun way to do it than to spend half of it with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton, in just a minute, and special guest Desiree Cook, founder, CEO, philanthropist, IMU 360. We'll talk about their tiny homes for youth initiative and more, trying to put a dent in Arizona's homeless youth crisis. And I am humbled to be in Desiree's presence for many reasons, one of which is off the heels of a national appearance on the Ellen DeGeneres Show right here, making Tucson proud. I cannot wait for this conversation. And then to close us out, Ruben Navarrete will be with us. He's the most widely read Latino columnist in the country. And when we delve into national issues, we lean on him for support and insight. We're going to talk Kyle Rittenhouse. Trial decision came in last week. What does it mean? What does it say about us? We'll get his thoughts and more. That's our show today. To kick us off, let's do it. Pastor Jeff Loxton, good morning to you. How are you?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, Zach.
It's good to see you. So today kind of starts our six-week journey here as we close out the year. I've been framing it on the show as looking at the areas and the spaces and the issues where the faith community is stepping in as a social safety net to solve problems in our community. And I think today kicks that off.
Yeah, it does. And I'm excited to introduce a dear friend and someone who is making a great difference in the community, especially with those who are caught in that gap when it comes to social services. And so Desiree Cook, her husband Terry, have become they've become like family to us. And so we're really grateful to be able to share this time with her and allow her to share all that's been happening in the realm of IMU 360 here in Tucson, and looking forward to the beyond component and how that impacts our state and our nation as a whole.
Absolutely. Well, with that intro, Pastor Jeff, let's turn things over to Desiree Cook, again, founder, CEO of IMU 360, and a philanthropist in our community. There's so much that IMU 360 does, but I want to focus on the small home experience aspect that you've developed, and obviously we want to get our Tucson community behind you on that today. Let's start here. Of all the things that IMU 360 does in our community, what was that moment where where Arizona's homeless youth became a burden for you, and you said we're gonna build homes? Like, what how did that get started?
So just kind of seeing what was going on in our community and not being able to turn a blind eye because of my lived experiences, I felt that the beacon of hope and light was necessary of their life experiences of victimization and trauma that is a daily struggle for them. And we wanted to empower them as whole people and sew them back into the fabric of the community.
It's interesting, in 2019, this picks up where Pastor Jeff and I started last week, because we started talking about the foster care experience and to some degree crisis in Southern Arizona right now, where I don't think the need has gotten smaller, but the homes who are able and willing to house short term these children in crisis is going down. But what you do is say, look, when these young people age out of the foster care system at age 21, among other things, 17% experience homelessness. And if I understand right, your goal with this small home experience is to help those individuals who are aging out to have a home for the first transitional period. Yes. Is this the first time this is being done in Tucson?
Yes, in this model. And why I say that is our tiny homes will be green and energy efficient, but then also the wraparound services that we're offering. One thing to be safe, which is huge, but then self-development is key, as well as life skill development, so that we can truly end homelessness with our permanent program, or housing, I should say, which is for 2 to 3 years.
That's incredible. And I'm trying to remember the pictures because I follow you closely on social media, Desiree Cook. You didn't break ground, but you cut a ribbon, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
We broke ground. So now we're ready.
Yes.
For construction to start, and that is really just based on the funding coming in to get that construction party started. Because the sooner we do that, the sooner we can save lives and really help our youth no longer slip through the cracks of society.
I love it. And we'll make that pitch for sure in a few moments. But when we say tiny homes, we've been talking a lot about on this show, casitas and accessory dwelling units. There's some policy changes the city of Tucson is working on. When you say tiny homes, how many are we talking about? What's the size? Where is it in our community? Paint that picture for us.
Sure. So with great gratitude is on the Hope City property right next to our office. Pastor Jeff has been so open-minded, and we truly appreciate his open mindset to help with solutions. So truly grateful for him. But it is right next to our office. It's 1101 South Van Buren. That is where the lot is. We are building 10 tiny homes. There will be 9 residents, and the 10th home will be for our community center, so to speak.
Excellent.
Behavioral health, group meetings, whatever is needed to be done. This is a unified community of a blended community. All walks of life, but one commonality, and that is to be safe and needing housing. But it also will be 450 square feet, which is amazing. It'll be a one-bedroom apartment and have all the amenities they need, even in a community garden, to fill the void of food insecurities. So we're really filling 3 voids: the hygiene piece, which we specialize in, housing, and food.
I love it. It's absolutely incredible. And I want to tie this back. We've got a whole nother segment coming up to dive into this, but I want to keep painting the picture because I think one of the things that we talk about at in the city of Tucson at large is for a developer to make a project like this pencil, one of the biggest costs is land costs. And so the city, Big C City of Tucson, says, well, if we can basically land bank, if we can provide the land to affordable housing developers, then they can build without having to go to the bank and say, well, I have to factor in this land cost, which means that the end user has a smaller rent that they have to pay. Oversimplification. But I say that because that's what Hope City Church did, correct? To say, look, we have this property. You know, Desiree and IMU360 doesn't have to cover the cost of this property, so you can develop these homes at a much smaller cost. We're talking in the sense of how does the faith community, how does the church step in unique ways to meet needs in our community? And I just think this is really cool because a church on the 22nd Street corridor said, we can help with that. And a nonprofit like IMU360 said, we can make the rest happen. That's the partnerships that make this work to solve real needs. So Pastor Jeff, I want to congratulate you and thank you for your service there. And what other words have to be said about Desiree Cook? But Pastor Jeff, thank you for for what you're doing. Maybe that's a good place to pause. We'll take a break. We'll come back for one more segment. We're with Desiree Cook, founder and CEO of IMU360, philanthropist in our community. For the first time in this certain way, developing a tiny home area in partnership with a church to help those who are aging out of the foster care system at age 21 make that next step in financial literacy, home economics, and home ownership. We'll be right back on AM 1030 KVY The Voice. Tipping Point continues this Thanksgiving Eve. Don't go anywhere.
Real issues with real people. Tipping Point with Zach Ensor, 1030 The Voice. In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and schedule time with Devin and her team.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento. When looking at retirement planning, conventional thinking asks, how do I get a higher return? Should I take on more risk, or is there a better product? Jason Robinson and his team at MassMutual focuses on the overall strategy first. He and his team of advisors have the tools necessary to measure the proper balance of investments and actuarial science for the best path possible for the highest retirement income. Call Jason and his team at 520-274-3749 to have them run through an analysis at no cost to see how much more efficient you can be, and tell them Zach sent you over.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Helping you make better money decisions is what The Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
Back Tucson and all of Southern Arizona live here out of the Common Workspace Studios. We're continuing this drive time hour of Tipping Point here on AM 1030 KVY The Voice. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, joined in studio for another segment here by Desiree Cook, founder and CEO of IMU360, community philanthropist. And bringing us together this morning is our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton. You're used to hearing him on Wednesdays on the program. You'll hear from him in the end, if you didn't hear him in the beginning. But there is this partnership where on the property of Hope City Church on the 22nd Street corridor, Hope City Church and IMU360 are partnering to develop 10 tiny homes, 450 square feet with reduced rent for young people who are aging out of the foster care system. So we talked about the foster care crisis going on. For those young men and women who are blessed enough to be placed in foster situations, they age out. And when they age out, our expectation as a community is they are adults ready to own a home and have a job and be financially literate. And the unfortunate reality is that is not as always the case. And so this is a step through adulthood that is so critical in a community where affordable housing is not where it needs to be. We'll talk a few more nuts and bolts, Desiree, and then obviously there's an opportunity for our communities to support you financially, we'll just say it that way, to make this dream happen for the first property where these 10 homes are. But you continue, and oddly enough, I have you on the show often on the heel of national exposure. You're putting two on the map in a very real way. Recently, you were on the Ellen DeGeneres Show with
yes.
guest host Tiffany Haddish.
Yes.
How was that? I don't even know the question to ask. How was that?
Oh, my. It's mind-blowing. Ellen and her team are simply amazing. Just to even be selected, all I could say is I was humbled and honored.
There were six initiatives, right?
Well, soon to come.
Oh.
Okay, will be another opportunity for Ellen to create awareness with an IME360 is
got
doing.
It. Ignore me. Keep going.
No. But it was just to get that initial call. It was really a board member that had reached out to Ellen 3 years ago at midnight. Mm. And she was like, I just want to do something. I feel like what you're doing and what we're doing needs to be heard. And then 3 years later, timing is everything. God's timing. And here we are. And to get that call and to build that momentum to
incredible.
Actually lead to being on the show, to create awareness and have that exposure. Mm-hmm. I was truly honored for that opportunity in such a way.
That's incredible. Wow, 3 years to get there. And of course, Ellen, this is Ellen's last season personally doing the show. And you were with guest host Tiffany Haddish, another nationally known name in the industry. That had to be incredible. And there's going to be a localized opportunity out of that as well, right? That isn't the end of the Ellen story.
No, it is not. And that should be airing within the next 6 weeks on a Wednesday. I don't have that actual date yet, but I soon to expect to hear. Mm-hmm. So that'll be another opportunity for exposure and putting the spotlight on the needs of our community.
But you said her team was here earlier this week.
Yeah, this past Monday.
Yeah.
They came. She flew a crew of eight out, and literally it was retake, and they were able to interview the kids are a part of our program, not only our residents of our phase one safe housing project. We went on site there and was able to have an intimate relationship or conversation, I should say. But then my mentees at the office, it was, without them, we definitely would not be able to do as much work as we get accomplished, I should say. So it was really great. So I can't wait to see it myself. It was an all-day event, but it was so organic and really a great opportunity.
I love it. And if I didn't mention before, I think I had you on about a year ago. You just posted about the one-year anniversary. Mike Rowe was supported. And behind the scenes, a surprise to you, got Tucson Police Department involved and a lot of folks to secretly support you.
Yes.
And he came out and said, ta-da, you're one of the things that we really love about this country is IMU360, Desiree Cook. So I don't know where you go beyond the Ellen DeGeneres Show, but I'm sure there is somewhere beyond that, and you will be there. And it's just so cool that you're representing Tucson. I don't want time to run out before we kind of close the circle a little bit. We've painted the picture why this is important. What are we talking about? The partnership with Hope City Church as a faith community, bridging gaps and meeting needs. We're focusing on that for the next 6 weeks on the program with Pastor Jeff. You're our first conversation. There are opportunities for people to contribute to a pretty large capital campaign that is being matched by a donor on the West Coast.
Yes.
But then there's also opportunities to support the rent for these individual young men and women who are in these homes. Tell us about both those opportunities that listeners today can immediately invest in this important work.
Sure. So we do have 10 residents, all coming from homelessness or aging out of foster care, that are now going from living to thriving, but they do pay rent, which is one of the requirements of our program. Their rent.
That.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. Adulting.
Adulting.
And that's how we feel we could reintroduce them to the community.
It's amazing.
But at that location, it happens to be tiny units as well, 350 square feet.
Okay.
So with our model, it's $1 a square foot. They pay $350 a month, but because we do not own that land, and a local real estate agent and developer was nice enough to donate that complex, we do have to pick up the mortgage. So we didn't want to set the kids up for failure. We want to set them up for success. Mm-hmm. And so we were asking the community, amazing people like Hope City, Why I Live, Where where I live, and one AZ, and two, and the list goes on, to adopt the half of that rent ensure that they're, you know, good to go, and don't have to worry about that extra struggle of keeping a safe roof over their head. And we're hoping to continue, because these kiddos will move to the small home experience, and then we'll be able to select another 10 kids. So sometime next year, we'll be able to safely house 19 most vulnerable young adults, which is huge for us.
Absolutely.
Especially
incredible.
Just tapping into the housing. So, yes, so we're looking for sponsors. It is, we're asking for 6 months, which is $1,800 to cover the 6 months for rent. And then obviously asking for funding to kick off construction, to see it from beginning to its end. And I feel like we all win.
That's,
community
beautiful.
Wins.
Yeah. I love the partnership between your young men and women and the community. I think it's only, if I'm doing the math right, 350 that the young person has to come up with, and then 300.
Yes, 300
from a community partner. So if our listeners can invest in that way, there's also a matching campaign where a philanthropist on the West Coast is going to match up to $75,000 in our community donations. If we get to 75, he or she will match that. Where can people go to contribute to you?
Sure. So we always want to send people to our website to get to know us. It's IAMU360.org.
I love
Or you can mail a check to our P.O. Box, which is IAMU360, of course, P.O. Box 16161, Tucson, Arizona. And our zip is 85732. We are not only tax deductible, but we're also a tax credit. We are one of Arizona's qualified foster care charitable organizations. So that would serve as a tax credit, whether you're filing single or as a married couple. So that is free money to you in return to support IMU360. So there's the two ways, the 501c3 or the QFCO, which is huge for us, as well as those that are donating.
Desiree Cook, it has been such a pleasure to be with you. We're under 2 minutes, and I want to pull back in to close us out. Pastor Jeff Loxton, who brought us here together, he's our faith and culture contributor and a huge partner in this effort. Final words, Pastor of Hope City Church.
Yeah, no, I hope our listeners, our prayer is that they would want to be a part of the amazing work that is happening there through Desiree Cook, through IMU360. I have been so impressed with the interactions I've had with the students there on campus. I know if people asked me about the land that has been there vacant for 70 years, and one of the questions, surprisingly, was, you don't have a vision for this space? And I said, are you kidding me? This is the vision. Mm-hmm. The next generation is the vision. So we're honored to be able to partner with what God is doing through Desiree Cook, through her incredible team, to invest in the future of the students, the lives of the youth in our community here in Tucson.
I love it. Pastor Jeff, once again, thank you for your service to our community in multiple ways. You and I have spent probably half the last year having crucial conversations about the church in America and where it may have taken a few missteps over the past number of years. But I've always said this, the church always has been on the front lines of meeting needs. Amen. Education, community development, poverty, homelessness. The church has been always either in the foreground or the background, being a glue that brings the community together to solve problems. And we need to celebrate that, and we should celebrate that at the same time. This is an amazing example. Happy Thanksgiving to you both.
This
is the best way to end the week here this Thanksgiving Eve.
Thank you so much, Zach.
Thank you, Desiree. We'll do this again soon. This will not be the last time we have either of you on the program, but that's it for now. We'll be back, Tucson, on the program in just a minute. We'll visit some sponsors at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back, and we'll shift a little bit more towards local and national, but what a way to end the week here on the program. We'll be back for the rest of Tipping Point on AM 1030 KBOI The Voice.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the nearly 60 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges currently under construction, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. Welcome live here out of the Common Workspace Studios. This Thanksgiving Eve edition of Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We just stepped away from a conversation that took up half of this hour with Desiree Cook, a philanthropist, founder, and CEO of IMU 360, brought together by our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton. Matt, I cannot think of a better way to close out a short week than a conversation with those two about their small home experience for young men and women aging out of foster care in this community who don't have a place to go, but now they do. What a beautiful story.
Absolutely. It's nice to know people in the community are working on that and thinking of that, because it's a big issue.
Yeah. There's a lot on my mind. I will share about it in just a minute. There's a few odds and ends that I want to just kind of monologue on for a few minutes. Of course, you can interrupt me, 520-790-2040. I had a listener, this was a number of months ago, say, man, I wish I could hear other people in the community call in and chat, and it's just you talking a lot. And I said, well, I can't not talk. This live radio thing wouldn't work if I just stopped talking, but you can make me stop. You can give me a call and we can hear from you. And I would love to do that. 520-790-2040.
We tried the silence once and that show didn't work out so well. So yeah.
No. Oh, man. There are days, though, where I think maybe if I just stepped out and let Matt do it, it might be a better show. But that's an issue. That's an issue for
absolutely
another day. Coming up, you know what, Matt? Here's the honest truth. You could do my job way better than I could do yours. We'll put it that way.
A minimal amount of training. I would dispute that. But thank you. Thanks for giving me the edge there.
Yeah, well, it's not much of an edge, sir. And hey, it's Thanksgiving, so Matt Neely, thanks for all you do to make so many things run well on the program. I'm obviously feeling a little goofy at the moment. My long weekend is just a matter of hours away, so I'm feeling it. But coming up, Kyle Rittenhouse, the verdict was made last week. On with us in just a few moments will be Ruben Navarrete. When we do talk about national issues, of course, we always try to localize it. This is a local show. But when we do talk about national issues, I try to do it with Ruben Navarrete, one of the most widely read columnists in the country, from his perch in Southern California. You've seen him in Washington Post, Fox News, and everything kind of in between. Ruben in the center, trying to take an objective look at what's going on. We lean on him to try and make sense of what's going on. But that's in a few moments. A couple of themes on my mind is, we've talked about it on this show, and this is kind of my Thanksgiving vibe. We'll do this. I said on the show that I think in many ways, and the data points to this, the numbers, the polling, the American consensus points to a seeming lack of faith in our institutions, whether it is news, whether it is church, whether it is government, whether it is Congress. It has dropped considerably over the last number of years. The only institution in America that has maintained a high level of trust by the American people is the military. And my conversation with Desiree and Jeff made me think about this, because Jeff and I have certainly talked about the institution that we call the church, right? And if you're a religious person, there is the spiritual side of the church, and what it's supposed to mean according to spiritual documents that guide the church. And then there's the human-led institution side of it that is often broken and messy and messed up, like all of our institutions are. And we don't want to stray away from those hard conversations. But conversations like the one that we had today, where there is a church in an area of need in our community that's partnered with a nonprofit to provide land, to provide small homes in transition, to foster children who are aging out at 21, no longer children, young adults now, who need a little bit of a social safety net to get to the next step. There are so many of those stories that we need to be thankful for locally and beyond, where our institutions, where the people that make them up are unspoken, stepping into the gap and standing up for those who need the help the most. And the faith community, the church, and the broader faith community across many religions is often sometimes that last stopgap to the negative things that could be. And I got on that train of thought because I was randomly listening to a talk that Condoleezza Rice was giving, a former Secretary of State. And she said, look, we are having this conversation in America about the brokenness of our institutions. We can't trust the media, can't trust the church, can't trust the government, can barely trust each other anymore. And she said, look, January 6th, no matter what you think of that, January 6th was a pivotal moment where the Constitution, where the way things have worked and have been required to work for centuries, could have been broken. And they held. Of course, she was referring to Mike Pence's, Vice President Pence's certifying of the election. He had no power to do anything else. The Constitution did not empower Mike Pence to do anything else. And he knew that. And there was a moment where he could have pretended to forget. And on January 6th, we saw things that could have broken horribly hold together. And I don't want to politicize this moment. You may be listening now and you may have a different opinion. But Condoleezza Rice said, look, wait a second. Maybe we need to rethink. She goes, we all love our congressperson. I'm exaggerating just a touch. But statistically, if you're listening, if you fill out a survey, you would say, I don't like Congress. But I actually do like my congressperson. The more local we get, the more locally focused that we get, I think the more we see that our institutions, as much work as they need, may not be working as badly as we think. Got me thinking, maybe that's something to be thankful for. And just watching a church step in and partner in this way made me think about it. Here's my last thing, right? Because I've been talking a lot as a City of Tucson resident, as someone passionate about housing issues. By the way, I didn't curate this conversation. You can save your eye roll for me for another day. I've gotten pigeonholed as the housing guy, and I'm okay with that. Pastor Jeff brought this conversation together, but it's a passion item of mine. And I want to say this out of love to our city, Big C, is often in government, at any level, good things get caught up in strategy, planning, and checklists. And Desiree inspires me because this is a woman who has a lived experience where she needed housing at this stage of her life as she was aging out of systems and institutions. And she turned around and said, I'm going to do it. And in a matter of time, she will have 20 tiny homes. And I think the lesson for all of us, but certainly on this issue, and I'm going to say this out of love at the city level, just stop planning and strategizing and checklisting and go do it. Follow the lead of men and women like Desiree. Find a partner. Find partners and do it. Just go do it. Just go build. Go build more housing. Make things happen. Incremental steps with partners in the nooks and crannies of our community. Just go do it. We can't fall into the trap of strategies, planning, and checklists, and then nothing gets done, but we feel happy because we've planned. Go do the work. The time is now. And so there you go. There's my smorgasbord, my last monologue of the short week here as we head out, bumping up against a break to make time for our very important conversation with Ruben Navarrete. But those are some of the things on my mind. Some reasons for hope, some reasons for Thanksgiving, and some reasons for urgency, my thoughts. All righty. You can check everything out on the podcast, of course. We're going to go to our last break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to debrief Kyle Rittenhouse and the verdict that came in last week and the aftermath this week with Ruben Navarrete, the most widely read Latino columnist in the country. We're going to try to make sense of what it says about us, what it doesn't say about us, and everything in between. We'll be right back on Tipping Point, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk all morning on 1030 The Voice.
Zach Yenser here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson. Located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love? In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the nearly 60 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges currently under construction, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and schedule time with Devin and her team.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
After you finish listening to the Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI, The Voice.
Hey And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona, coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios. Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yenser, on AM 1030 KVUI, The Voice. This segment is sponsored by Little Love Burger, opening downtown earlier last month. Little Love Burger, serving up the juiciest burgers, loaded hot dogs, hub ice cream, milkshakes, local brews, and breakfast sandwiches. You can follow them on social at Little Love Burger. When my next guest here to close out the hour comes to Tucson next time, that's where I'm going to take him for lunch. Ruben Navarrete, it's a deal. Welcome aboard. How are you, sir?
I look forward to it, Zach. Are you kidding me? Every time I hear that spot, I go to the website to find out more about the Little Love Burger, and it sounds awesome. So I'm ready to go.
Yes. You and many others, and I'm looking forward to it. Ruben Navarrete is the most widely read Latino columnist in the country. You've seen his face and his name, Washington Post, Fox News, and everything in between. Ruben, time is ticking, but when I look at national issues, I try to do it with you on our segment on a regular basis. You watch the national issues. Ruben in the center. From an objective standpoint, Kyle Rittenhouse, the trial ended rather quickly last week. The verdict was made, not guilty on all counts. And of course, we've all watched the aftermath. Both the right and the left of America's political heart have strong opinions. Ruben, you're in the center. I've got thoughts, but give us yours. What do you make of the Kyle Rittenhouse situation and decision?
So, Zach, and as you and I have said before, you know, both on air and just in private conversations, we'd be much better off in this country if we approached every single issue, every single debate, with the assumption that the issue is much more complicated than either side will make it. The right Yes. is oversimplifying this issue. The left is oversimplifying this issue. Here's the best I can make of it. It is true, if you believe what Kyle Rittenhouse said to Tucker Carlson this week in his one exclusive live extended interview, you see that he probably had no choice. He had no choice. When somebody is towering over him, yelling and screaming, he's on the ground saying, I'm going to kill you, you can make the argument that he had no choice but to defend himself. Where Ruben in the center kicks in, where the complexity kicks in, is that before that moment, Kyle Rittenhouse had 10,000 choices to make, and he made all bad ones. It was a bad choice to leave his home and to go to Kenosha. It was to go... People don't like it when you say he crossed state lines, but in fact, is he lives in one state and went to another. It was a bad mistake to obtain this weapon that apparently a friend had bought for him because Kyle's only 17 years old and not able to buy the weapon legally. So he's wandering the streets of Kenosha, Wisconsin with an armament that he is not legally allowed to purchase. Now, as the son of a cop, bells are going off for me already, in terms of how I would never put myself in this situation. And then he wades into this chaotic situation, this chaotic protest that has shades of a riot, and he puts himself in danger and puts others in danger. He chooses to then shoot not just one person, but three people in three separate instances, and only then goes to ostensibly turn himself into the police. And he's told by the police, according to him, to go home. Simply to go home, which tells you a lot about how, you know, young white kids with automatic weapons might be treated as opposed to, say, young black kids with automatic weapons. And they're probably not being told to go home. So that's the way I split the baby here, Zach. I say that at that moment, self-defense, this certainly looks like self-defense, but my problem is that all those same conservatives who've been talking my ear off all my life for the last 50 years about how people have to own up to bad decisions, take responsibility for their actions, people have to be held accountable. Lawlessness can't be excused. Bad decisions shouldn't be rewarded. All those nice conservative Republican preachings, none of them seem to apply to the case of Kyle Rittenhouse. Hmm.
Ruben Navarrete is with us. And Ruben, you and I were chatting over the weekend, and we thought, well, maybe we move this Wednesday conversation to Monday, because no sooner did you and I close out stuff and Friday came and the decision came down, and I think that was Friday, Ruben. You and I were on the phone on Friday, and we thought, right, maybe we do this on Monday. And I texted you, Ruben, and I said, I'm not ready to do this on Monday, because I wanted to figure out the timeline. That, by the way, the media, and I'm not a media basher, but the media has done a horrific job. Again, whether or not you like the decision, Ruben, this is not a right or left thing.
Right.
The media had a year to get the timeline right of what happened. And I think your description is pretty darn close. And we haven't heard that. We haven't heard that in the media. And I think that's been a horrific disservice. David French, a conservative author, I believe, Ruben, wrote this. And I think it's where I'm at. Because we found out again, yes, so Kyle had family in Kenosha, right? He wasn't a vigilante that just kind of came over because he felt like it. There is family roots there. But we found out, Ruben, on the stand, that the owner of that car lot never wanted Kyle's help.
Right.
The police said to Kyle, we don't need your help either. Right? No one talks about this, Ruben. The police are the folks who sent Kyle into the riot that turned deadly because they said, we don't need your help to do our job. But let me get to this paragraph, Ruben. If the jury acquits Rittenhouse, this was written just before the decision, it will not be a miscarriage of justice. The law gives even foolish men the right to defend their lives. And Ruben, this was the narrow situation the court was ruling on. But an acquittal does not make a foolish man a hero. A political movement that turns a deadly and ineffective vigilante into a role model is a movement that is courting more violence and encouraging more young men to recklessly brandish weapons in dangerous places, and that will spill more blood in America's streets. Ruben, case closed.
Well, yeah, and David French was right about that. The conservatives are not hearing that. They are, in fact, making Kyle Rittenhouse into a hero. What's so interesting and frustrating about our politics is the left can't live with half a loaf. The right can't live with half a loaf. It's not enough in the left case to say that an African-American man was killed unfairly, unjustly by police. They have to somehow say there's systemic racism in all policing. So nobody wants half a loaf. Everybody has to go for the whole thing. And for the conservatives, it's not enough to say, this is an individual who found himself in a very unfortunate position. Unlike Tucker Carlson, I'll say he put himself in that position, okay? Because unlike Tucker Carlson, I'm what they call a journalist. And I'm looking at the facts. I'm not being driven by an agenda. And so in that regard, the Tucker Carlson interview was also an example of what happens on left-wing TV every day. On places like the Chris Cuomo show and the Anderson Cooper show. And Tucker Carlson also, you know, is part of the problem because he's on the right-wing media, and likewise, his questions were all softballs to Kyle Rittenhouse. So, yeah, David French has a point, but the right is not listening because they do want to make Kyle Rittenhouse into a hero. They want to demonize every single victim who was shot or killed, blaming the victim, somehow saying these were despicable people who deserve to die. And so ultimately, it's hard to recognize the conservative movement. I don't understand where the Republicans are right now. They're turning themselves inside out. They don't believe in anything anymore. They're clear just reacting to the moment.
Yeah, Ruben, this is, I don't think that we are engaged in whataboutism or both-andism. I am, like you, just really scratching my head at how both wings of our political life have so badly mangled the story here. And at the same time,
every story on Zach, on vaccines, on immigration, on abortion, on any issue you can think of, it's a really an American pattern now for both political parties to oversimplify things and to push agendas, and nobody gets to the truth.
Another bizarre element, and this is more of an aside, Ruben, is I'm fascinated by things like the little quirk in Wisconsin law that basically excludes semi-automatic weapons from being illegal for underage ownership because of the length of the rifle. I mean, this is why, Ruben, I said, Ruben, I can't do this on Monday. It will be a bad interview. I had to go back and put in a lot of time to figuring out what happened here because we weren't told. We were told the facts of the case through a prism of what somebody on CNN or Fox wanted us to think about this case.
I got it. And here's one thing that Fox didn't tell me during that interview, and here's one thing Fox hasn't said to me. I heard this in a discussion on the Michael Smirkana show with some lawyers. Turns out that Wisconsin law does give you the right to defend yourself. There's an exception to the law. It does not give you the right to defend yourself in a situation where you've been the aggressor. If I come up to Zach and start pushing you and pushing you and pushing you, and then you hit me back, and then I strike you, I don't get to say I'm claiming self-defense because I instigated that. And the argument could be made and should have been made, Kyle Rittenhouse instigated this. He's the one who was the aggressor, he's the one who showed up to a protest brandishing an automatic weapon. You know, the idea is somehow he went there to provide medical care. When you show up to a protest brandishing an automatic weapon, that is, in and of itself, is a threatening gesture. So it's a little hard to claim self-defense when you started it.
Yeah. Any other thing?
Not Ruben. Ruben doesn't say that. The law says that. That's the exception in Wisconsin law, and that somehow didn't come out either.
Yeah. You know, Ruben, I want to be careful of a misstep on this, and we are running out of time. And I think overlaying this case to other cases that we have seen around policing and gun violence in this country is incorrect. But I also think it's true that there is only a subset of people in this country who can walk a public street with a semi-automatic weapon and not get shot down for it. And again, I don't want to compare apples and oranges.
A 17-year-old white kid walking up to police with an automatic weapon saying, I just shot somebody. And according to what he said on Fox News, the policeman said, go home.
Yeah.
Literally, Tucker Carlson had to say, did you say go home? And then they both tried to excuse why the policeman would say that. That's not the America that most black and brown kids experience.
There's so much to unpack here, but again, I go back to that David French statement, Ruben, that the law gave Kyle the opportunity to defend himself, but he should have never been there, and to lionize him is, I think, a disservice to this country, a disservice to, I think, what we all think is appropriate in our American communities. Lots to unpack there, and we're trying in our best way in 10 minutes to look past the politicization of these themes and to look at the facts. Ruben, our conversations often match themes that you've written or talked about in your platforms throughout the week. Where can people go and find you elsewhere?
I have a new piece coming out on the Daily Beast, working on it now. You can always find me at the Daily Beast and at RubenNotBretha.com, and just Google my name and follow the arrows. They're coming at me with equal ferociousness from both sides.
You have a fun job, it sounds like. Ruben Navarrete, happy Thanksgiving to you, sir. We'll do this again next week, and I'm looking forward to it.
Happy Thanksgiving, Zach. Thanks.
We'll be back Tucson on Monday. We've got some great shows for you. You can keep us on the dial throughout your holiday weekend. But have a fun, safe time of fellowship and family this weekend, Tucson. We'll be back on Monday. Stay safe out there. Hugh Hewitt up next. Bill Buckmaster at noon with Marikina Romero of the city of Tucson. I'm going to be listening to that one as well. Keep us on your dial. Tucson, take care out there. We'll see you back on Monday.